glad to be here.
We didn't want Paul to call. We begged him to not call and get you on the phone.
But... I was on my way, but I didn't know exactly. I had in mind a different location.
Well, I think everybody's here that's available to be here. Is that right?
Yeah. Very good.
We'll go ahead and call our Drinking Water Board meeting to order and ask for a roll call. Ken, if you would, please.
Paul Hansen.
Here.
Betty Naylor.
Here.
Brett Shinoff. Tage Flynn.
Here.
Roger Freidel.
Here.
Brad Johnson. David Sackerson.
Here.
David Stevens. Mm-hmm. Mark Stevens. We have a quorum of 5 members.
Very good, thank you. And just for the record, the 4 that are not here have all called in with legitimate excuses. Brett's got a waterline repair in a state highway that he's involved in. Dr. David Stevens is teaching class with the college just starting back up that he wasn't able to reschedule. Dr. Mark Stevens had a family conflict, and Brad is in meeting with the governor, and for some reason thinks he's more important, but that's okay.
Wow.
So we excuse them from our meeting. We only have a few in the audience, and I think I know most of you, but for the benefit of our new members, Mike, would you mind introducing yourself and just go through the audience? We'll start here in the front.
Michael Bridge, Division Staff.
Brian Patti with Rural Water.
Heather Bosch, Division Staff.
Kurt Ludvigsen with Rural Water.
Paul Fulton with Rural Water Association and Tremont City.
Rich Peterson, Drinking Water.
Henry Allred, the Cedar View Montwell Service District Board Member.
Very good.
And Mary Everett, the Division of Drinking Water.
Very good. It's good to have you all here with us today. Next item we have is the approval of the minutes from the July 18th, 2014 meeting. To the board, have each had an opportunity to look over those minutes? Any comments or corrections?
I move for their approval.
I have a motion by Tage to approve them. A second?
Second.
And a second by Mayor Freidel. All in favor?
Freidel.
I'll make sure I don't do that again. Thank you. Thank you, Roger. All in favor to approve the minutes, please indicate aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Going to do one other item. I'm going to move ahead on the agenda at number 7. Tage has a conflict and we'll need to leave at 3:30. So there's one other action item we need to do. That would be the Operator Certification Commission member appointment, if we can move that item up in the agenda. Ken?
Yes, Jim Callison has served well on the Operator Certification Commission and desires to continue his service. His term of office terminates the end of this year, and would the staff would recommend that he be appointed for a new term on the Operator Certification Commission.
Very good. Any discussion on that item?
Where is he from?
He is associated with Utah Valley University.
Okay.
Representing the Training Coalition.
Any other comments or questions? Other than turn the phone off? I'll entertain a motion then on the reappointment of Jim Callison to the...
So moved.
I have a motion by Mayor Sackerson. A second, please.
I'll second.
And a second from Betty. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Very good. Motion passes unanimously. Now let's go back to number 5. Michael, if you would please, a Financial Assistance Committee report. And we'll turn this time over to Betty.
Michael, it's your turn.
Great.
What am I saying today?
All right. As indicated in the packet, the first page of our status report shows the overall view of the state loan funds. We currently have just over $200,000 in the fund. Over the course of the next year, we're expecting an additional $5.5 million roughly. So by August 1st of 2015, we're looking at about $5.8 million in the state fund. You'll notice there that we do have the $100,000 appropriation for the division out of that the sales tax revenue. And in addition to other administrative fees, as well as a state match for our 2015 federal grant. I would like to point out, I forgot to bring those documents with me today, but in relation to that state match, as is typically the case at this point in time during the federal fiscal year, we have competing proposals out of Congress for funding the SRF programs. The House has, their committee has proposed $755 million for the SRF programs, which means Utah would get about $7.8 million. The Senate has proposed a little over $900 million for the SRF programs, which means that Utah would get about $9.2 million. Since, for our two new members, a little background on that. Every 4 years, EPA conducts what's termed a drinking water infrastructure needs survey. For the first several surveys, Utah did not fully participate in that, so we were authorized to have 1% of whatever Congress authorized to the SRF program. In the 2011 survey, we participated in that, and as a result, we went from a 1% state to a 1.04% state. So we get 1.04% of whatever the total DWSRF authorization is. So that's where we're at. So depending on where the conference committee ends up with those two proposals, that $1.56 million for state match could change. Anyway, the state fund appears to be in relatively good shape, especially considering that at this meeting we're not bringing anything before the board, so that money will carry over to our next meeting, where we'll hopefully have some more applications come in. Are there any questions on the state fund?
No. Just I noticed on this closed Payson finally closed then.
Payson has closed, and Payson is in construction, yes.
Okay,
the federal fund. The fourth page of that information packet. We currently have $31 million that we're able to work with. And over the course of the next year, we're looking at an additional $15 million coming in. So by August 1st of 2015, we're looking at just over $46.5 million in the fund. Again, that will change depending on what Congress does with our appropriation. However, that's a pretty significant amount of money. Talking with board members a little earlier, just to reiterate for those of you that weren't there, we are currently working with Stockton, as most of you are aware, on their tank project that they will have. They are currently working with the insurance company to see what they'll pay for, what requirements they will have. And as soon as that's all ironed out, we will be working with them to put together a package for the board to consider. And I've had a couple of conversations with other engineers over the past couple of weeks that are telling me that they have projects coming in that could be in the $2 to $4 million range. So we are moving a little bit on projects. It looks like by construction season next year, we should have some additional projects to consider. Second page shows projects authorized but not yet closed. Shows about $16.5 million in unclosed projects. However, I would like to point out to the board that that list has changed somewhat since we did close the Wooden Shoe Water Company loan recently. Any questions on the federal program?
That has closed?
It has closed, yes.
Betty, I have a couple of questions, if I may. Two points. On that $16 million outstanding,
yes,
authorized but not closed, do you see any of those that won't move forward? You know, occasionally we offer a financing and they choose to not accept.
Yes. Yeah, there are some that I'm concerned with. The main one being Pleasant View City. They were authorized in January of this year, $1.97 million. And they are still considering whether or not to accept that authorization. They do have until January of 2015, because we do give them a year to make substantial progress in closing. The others that are there, I see moving forward and preparing for closing. Duchesne County, the Victory Pipeline, We were hoping to close that one tomorrow, actually, but they're still having some problems with easements. They're still looking for some new easements. We had a conference call this morning before the board meeting. They did receive, they're working with a title company. So this title company is actually the ones putting together all the easements. And they were working on these, and the title company submitted some easements that were signed by the wrong people because of an improper property description. So they've got to go back and correct those. Another issue that they're dealing with is Bureau of Indian Affairs approval on some of the work. The Bureau did authorize the work. However, the authorization that they wrote up was in the name of the county rather than the Conservancy District. And so they're currently...
That's close enough.
Yeah. we would like to think so, but not quite. So we're looking at whether or not it's feasible to have the county assign that to the district, or whether we have to go back to BIA and actually have them modify their authorization. So we could see, I think we're close enough to see a Duchesne County closing by the end of September, after 5 years of messing around. But anyway, Harriman, they are, I've explained this before, but for the benefit of our two members, they were authorized in March of 2012, $4.5 million. They have chosen to use a special assessment area to pay their bond. The problem with that being they can't do the assessment until they know exactly how much it's going to cost. So they have gone out for interim financing, and they are in construction at this point. And as soon as that construction is complete, they will then close on their loan authorized by the Drinking Water Board, pay off their interim financing, and then begin the repayment of the bond that the board will purchase from them. Greendale Water Company, we are working with them. They need to go through some more public comment period on their project. Sheep Creek Cove, I haven't got an update on that one. I haven't heard anything from Julie on what they're doing, but they were moving pretty quickly initially. Pleasant View City I've already covered. Forest Glen A, they're moving rather quickly as well. They had another problem there. Most of their infrastructure is on Forest Service land. This is a small water system up one of the Salt Lake Canyons. And the Forest Service issued them authorization to move forward with their project. However, their authorization said that the Division of Drinking Water was responsible for the design and construction of the infrastructure.
Oh, new talent, huh, Michael?
Yeah. And so the division doesn't do that. We're not responsible for it. So I sent that back to Forest Glen to work with the Forest Service to get that changed over so that Forest Service or Forest Glen A was the responsible party and not the division. I can see a closing with them probably the November, December time frame. They are moving quickly, and they do want to get that started so they can be moving on the 2015 construction season. Boulder Farmstead, I have not heard anything from them. They were authorized in May of this year, so they're. I talked with Jesse a couple days ago, and they are progressing, but they're not there yet. And the White Hills Water Company, they are moving forward as well. The board authorized funding for them 2 or 3 years ago. And so we're using all those documents as templates to move forward on this one. So this one should move forward pretty quickly because we don't have the same, we don't have to reinvent the wheel with them. Bill Prater, our attorney, is putting together those documents, and he's based the new documents off of the old ones. And so I can see, reasonably White Hills could possibly close January, February timeframe. So that's those are the eight projects that are authorized but not yet closed. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board or discussion? Okay, turn the time back over to Paul.
Very good, thank you. Moving on to item number six, there's quite a bit of discussion about energy conservation, as it relates to cost savings for systems and how to deal with it. And staff has been doing quite a bit on looking into that. And we wanted to invite Ken and Michael to kind of update us on where staff is and some of their discussions with different groups. So Ken, we'll turn to you first on that documents and presentations portion.
Thank you. If you turn to your tab, we're preparing, and it's nearly in a completed state, but as I will indicate, there's still some more work to do, a handbook that will be used by water systems is the principal audience, but there's elements for consultants, for elected officials, for technical service providers, and so forth, to move this forward.
Move that just a bit.
And the first page is kind of the outline of this. This handbook, as I referred to it, and the handbook starts out by referring to three case histories of water systems that have done things to lower costs by implementing energy efficient ideas. One of them involves the Mountain Regional Water System. Doug Evans has a specific assignment with that system to conceptually take a wet rag and squeeze all the energy efficient ideas out of that to maximize the benefits to the utility. And he has already achieved a savings of $300,000 per year in energy costs for his water system. And in doing that, he has prepared a list of ideas, some small, some large, some could result in significant savings, some minor savings, a list of things that potentially water systems can use to improve their energy efficiency. I don't think any system could use all the ideas, but there are ideas for just about any water system that uses electricity to pump water. In this first chapter, we also talk about finding the right consultant, someone who has experience in looking at this, and in the chapter one, subsection D, will be an explanation that is not yet developed, but will be part of the discussion today of the incentives that the board would offer to encourage water systems to look at energy efficiency in their design. We think this is important and aligned with the board's objective. If applicants who receive money from the board, if they could lower their operation and maintenance costs, they could afford more project or more loan and less grant, which would preserve the fund available to loan to other water systems. Chapter two is this effort, and if you go to the next tab, you'll see some of the ideas that Doug Evans came up with. It goes on for 16 pages of different ideas. He is currently working on dividing those ideas into three general categories, one being things that water systems could do. Second is things that water systems could do with help and advice from other outsiders. And then the third area is things that involve construction. The idea of structuring it this way, and by that way, the line between things water system personnel can do and things that they may need help doing is a moving line depending on the capabilities of the water system. We use generally an audience that is the midpoint of water systems throughout the state. This would be a water system that serves 490 people. So as you get the more larger systems and the broader diversity of expertise amongst the personnel of those larger systems, a lot of the things in category B, they could do on their own as well. And then it would be the construction of facilities that would be project related that may be part of loans that the board would deal with. Structured this way, the Rural Water Association is keyed up and will provide assistance as they're going around from water system to water system and looking at suggesting things that water systems can do to improve their energy efficiency. Then if we go into the funding options, there's a lot of funding options, particularly for projects that are energy efficient. Relative to the federal monies that are involved, this is something that EPA would encourage, is projects that are energy efficient. And so the federal funds would be well spent on these. But the Drinking Water Board has a program, and this chapter lays out kind of the process that one would go through step by step to obtain either state or federal financing as administered by the board. The Utah Office of Energy Development has a program. They require a five-year, it's only a revolving fund, and the payback has to be within 5 years. So it is a little restrictive, and the amount of money that they have available is limited. But they have a program specifically and only as water systems who would apply for it would be for projects that save energy. Then there's a state statute and a list of pre-qualified energy service companies that are pre-approved by state government. These are companies that would evaluate a situation, prepare the design with the help of consultants, build the project and operate it, and their payment for the expenses of doing that would come just from the energy savings. And it, the actual expected pay period by statute has to be greater than the repayment for the energy service companies. And then after the energy service company is paid for their work and their contribution with interest, all of the savings that would be generated by the project would go back to the city who had this project work done for them. Rocky Mountain Power has a well-defined program. If you install variable speed drives or soft start pumps, you get this much money for that. They also have a program that uses Rocky Mountain Power certified auditors, and you make a special proposal that deals with a project and documents your costs and by one of their company approved consultants. If it is accepted, they tell you go ahead and we'll reimburse costs up to a certain amount. But the project has to live up to the expectations. If it doesn't, you only get a portion of the cost reimbursed if it doesn't live up to the expectations. One of the case histories involving Logan, their funding was kind of unique in that they looked at a project and it ultimately ended up saving them $117,000 a year. Another section within city government had monies that would be spent for a project yet in the future. And because those monies were in the bank, that program was obligated to invest those monies with interest. Well, they ended up investing in this water program with interest. The savings paid back the account. What is paying back the account now, and the payment will be completed by the time the money was needed for the city for the other project. Kind of an interesting way of looking at it. Then the bank financing, they've got a number of tools that they use, different types of bonds, and it's laid out. It's pretty much you make application, you indicate the amount of money you need. They do credit checks, like for an individual with a mortgage. Jointly discuss between the system and the bank what is the timing of it, and then they have a loan closing. Relative to all of these documents, it isn't just the division that's put them together. There is an acknowledgement page, and it's actually the next page on behind the table of contents. There is then in the appendix web addresses specifically dealing with the three case histories in more detail, what's involved. They're not on the web yet. The Drinking Water Board program, its web addresses are given. Energy offices program, their websites are given. The energy service companies, two websites. One, the state statute involves energy service companies, and the second, a list of the pre-approved state energy service providers. Rocky Mountain has their websites listed. And then there's an interesting document. It was prepared by contract with the state of North Dakota, and Handbook of Energy Auditing of Water Systems, kind of that initial evaluation and what it means, is available from the web page, and it's one that I would recommend.
The web page refers in here to South Dakota. Is it North Dakota, so it is north or south?
It's South Dakota.
Okay.
Thank you for catching that. I was in here, South Dakota. I might say I tried to find it on their web page, and I ended up calling my counterpart.
And he gave teenager. Me,
yeah. And he gave me the web site, and I did call it up, and it did work. Which is a hint for us. We ought to make sure our web page is responsive. You can find things. And, of course, we're working on that. Next handout, like I say, this is Doug Evans' work, and it will be divided as I indicated. The next tab is a presentation I will give at this conference tomorrow morning, outlining the document and the nuances and the details as to what it involves. I will also be giving this similar presentation to the attendees at the League of Cities and Towns Conference in mid-September. The same week and just the day before, Mike Grange will be giving this presentation to the American Water Works Association Intermountain Section meeting in St. George. This presentation plus a lot more will be presented at the Rural Water Annual Conference in St. George the end of February. We're going to be contacting the city engineer's person who puts together his conference, and hopefully we'll get a slot in the city engineer's conference. I think that's sometime mid to end of January.
End of January.
Independent of all this, but definitely associated with this, is Senator Margaret Dayton is promoting a energy water summit to be scheduled on Thursday, January 22nd. The next tab was just my ideas relative to what this summit ought to look like. There will be input from the Utah Office Office of Energy Development, as well as representatives from, or input from Senator Dayton. We had a meeting immediately after this packet was put together of the three parties. I think that's the airplane.
That's the sound of freedom right there.
Yeah, good. I feel secure.
I didn't even hear it. Oh.
Senator Dayton wanted the conference to talk about legislation that would occur relative to water issues and energy issues. The Utah Energy Office wanted to talk about different subjects such as climate change and energy development ideas like wind farms and solar energy and things like that. And I wanted to talk about how water systems use a lot of energy, and actually the reverse is true. Energy companies use a lot of water. And that seemed to be, in my mind, how energy and water are connected. That will be further discussed and agenda finalized, obviously before the January meeting.
What was the date on that?
January 22nd. And that'll be in the Utah Government Trust Building in North Salt Lake. That particular meeting. So with that, there's that piece that, as I indicated, what kind of incentives will the board give to encourage, in my mind, the design community to be aware of all the energy saving possibilities, as well as benefiting the recipients of loan applications to lower their operation and maintenance costs. With that as background, with your permission, Paul, turn it over to Mike.
Yeah, I have a question on that before we before we go to that. On the acknowledgments page that you put together, second paragraph talks about a date of August 28th. Is that referring to today's meeting?
It should be the 27th.
And then we would want to modify that to the board members that are actually here, unless we leave it open to provide comments and input back to you.
I was thinking that, and Mike will give us more detail, we may come back with rule changes in policy, in which case there could be more board members, so I'd be reluctant to modify it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I understood what you were talking to. You may want to put a year on there just for clarity as you do it. But very good. Thank you. Michael?
Thank you. As Ken said, there are, in my mind, there are three basic questions that the board needs to consider as we go through this particular process. The first one is, what kind of incentive do we offer to the water systems and the design community to implement energy efficiency projects? The second question is, how much of an incentive do we offer? And the third question that I see is how do we apply that incentive? In other words, as you go through the information that we've put together, there are different levels of energy audits. There are different levels of potential energy efficiency increases and or cost reductions. And so how does the Drinking Water Board want to apply these incentives across that broad spectrum of potential benefits? And so the first page of my part of this just asks some of those questions, breaks out the energy audit levels, and you can see that there. You know, the level one is simply a planning. You look at a walkthrough audit that basically says these are the things that are consuming energy. This is how much energy they're possibly consuming. It's basically just in some terms it could be considered a windshield survey because it's just really basic. So from a board perspective, our planning money that the board offers is already offered at either a 0% or it's offered as a grant. So from an incentive perspective for the board, that one may be a little difficult for us to incentivize further, because the incentives are really pretty good already for planning money. Level two includes the low cost or no cost measures, basically what Ken was referring to as what the water system can do without bringing in an extra consultant necessarily to do that. These measures, from where I sit as far as money is concerned with the SRF program, this does not necessarily lend itself to a water system improvement project that would require funding. And so again, does the board want to provide an incentive for that? How much of an incentive, and how do we apply that to that particular level of audit? And then the level three audits are actually the ones that recommend the capital intensive measures, where they actually go in and say, okay, you can realize X amount of savings if you invest Y amount of dollars. And those are the ones that might be coming to the Drinking Water Board for funding to A, initialize the audit, and B, then actually go into the construction phase. So that level three audit by nature is more aligned with what the Drinking Water Board does as far as the SRF program. So then the questions become, you know, do we want to base the incentive on how far down that list of audits they've gone? Do we want to just give an incentive for them to perform the audits? You know, things of that nature. Then the next question, do we want to base the audit on a modification of our Table 2 calculations? And for our new board members, Table 2 is where we look at their median adjusted gross income, their water bill, their average water bill per connection, and things of that nature that then, through our black box calculations, gives us the interest rate that we're proposing the board charge on the bond. Or do we want to make it a direct interest rate reduction? Rather than modify Table 2, do we just modify the interest rates?
I would just like to make a comment. If you want to incentivize it, wouldn't it make more sense to require the audit and require them to do the things, the low-hanging fruit, so to speak, that they can do without major capital investment prior to getting to a large bond?
That's one of the things that's in the list. Yeah, we'll discuss that in just a minute. Thank you.
Michael, at level three, then, would the baseline be established?
Right. The baseline that we're considering as part of this, from a division standpoint, from a design standpoint, the baseline would be where the water system currently is. And so if you look on the next page of attachment one, And what I've done is went through the rule and looked at the Table 2 calculations. And this is not necessarily a proposal from staff to the Drinking Water Board this time. This is simply an example of what it might look like. The second page of that is actually where this comes into play. As you can see, there are currently five areas where we offer potential ways to reduce the interest rate for an SRF loan. We look at, again, the cost-effectiveness ratio, how much the project costs per connection, their current local median adjusted income, the applicant's commitment, in other words, how much money they're contributing to the project, and then their water bill. And then finally, the number five deals with regionalization, repair and replacement reserve accounts, et cetera, that we're requiring. One of the potential ways we could do this is to include a sixth category. And that category is, as I've outlined it here, they have several options. A, they're not going to complete an energy audit, and they're not planning to, so we don't give them any consideration for that. The next level is an energy audit of the water system will be completed as part of this proposed project. And we give them a certain number of points that would thereby reduce their interest rate. Or an energy audit of the water system has already been completed, which is an increase in points. The next level, in addition to the energy audit being completed, audit recommendations have been incorporated into this proposed project, and so we give them more points for that. Or, in addition to the energy audit being done, audit recommendations have been incorporated in the proposed project and are estimated to achieve at least a 20% decrease in energy costs. And that, you know, again, this is just a conversation starter. This is something for the board to consider and look at as you deliberate and think about how you want to incentivize energy efficiency. But this is, as I was discussing this with members of my section, these are some of the things that we thought of and some of the things that we worked through. A couple of requirements there at the last part of that. The energy audit report must be submitted. We don't want them to just tell us that they've done a report. We need them to verify that that audit has been done and that the report is available. So that needs to be submitted with their application in order to qualify for any points. The second point there is that these energy efficiency points are an incentive and not a bludgeon or a hammer. And so these energy efficiency points would only be considered after they've already gone through that Table 2 calculation, would be bonus points, if you will. So there's no penalty for not doing an energy audit. It's just an incentive to do one. And that's what that second... It's an option. Yes. Yes. So that's, you know, again, that's a discussion point for the board. The next page is a screenshot of our application with some potential questions that the board would have, or that the drinking water system would have to ask.
Yeah. Michael, just before you leave that page, then, I know this is not a recommendation, but under this assumption, would not be an opportunity for a water system to submit for funding a project that's exclusively an energy saving measure? Is that accurate?
As long as it's with their drinking water system, we can do that under the Green Project Reserve option that EPA has and Congress has implemented.
Exclusively for that purpose?
Exclusively for that purpose.
Okay.
Yes.
And Michael, the other question I have, in the energy audit, is there any specific criteria that is in that energy audit?
There are.
Okay.
That handbook that Ken was talking about from South Dakota, that gives some very specific recommendations on how to conduct an audit and what the audit should consist of and how to generate the report. And that's based on the same type of audits that they do for building inspections.
Okay.
So that's where they base that. So yes, there are specific things that we would look for. There is a standard
that criteria. Okay.
Yes. And we would look for that as we look through their report. We would compare that to a checklist that we would generate from this document as well as others, as well as others that I've come across as I've researched this.
So are we contemplating any kind of a threshold? In other words, I mean, an energy savings of 5% or...
Well, my recommendation was 20.
20%?
But my talking point here was 20, but the board may decide to do something less, something more. Again, we're looking for direction from the board on how you want to proceed with this and what types of things you're looking at as far as incentivizing and how much of an incentive we want to do. That was my thought with the 20%. You know, we if we're going to give them a significant reduction in interest rate, we want them to show that their proposals will generate a significant savings for them as well.
And would it be too far-fetched to suggest maybe a tier in that percentage? 10%, 20%, or 30%, or 50%?
That's up to the board, completely up to the board, how you want to handle it. And you give us the direction, we'll implement it and draft the rule to reflect that. So that's completely up to the board.
Michael, I'm sorry, we're throwing you off.
Fine. No, not a problem.
We're talking about a potential incentive of 5 points as a conceptual.
Yeah.
Again, realizing that this isn't ready for publication.
Right.
Yeah. 5% in points would allow you what reduction in interest rate?
Okay, if we look at...
is that the 0.5%?
That's right.
The bottom of that first page of my part of the packet, a 10-point change in Table 2 gives a 0.5% reduction in interest rate.
So we're talking a quarter percent interest then.
That and the one thing too, this particular one that I'm recommending is additive. So if they have done an energy audit, they get 3 points.
Okay.
If they do the energy audit and implement the recommendations, they get an additional 4 points. So for a total of 7 points. Or if they implement the audit recommendations and they get the 20% savings, they get the 5 points. So it'd be a total of 8 points. And again, these are talking.
Okay.
So, but these are not prohibitive kind of things.
No.
They're not prohibitive. They're just incentives to get
people
to.
Correct.
Because I can see some small systems that can't afford to be efficient.
Right.
Kind of.
Right, and so that's why these points come after all of the other calculations for interest rate reduction.
Thank you.
One of the challenges that we face when we look at energy savings, let me pick on solar or wind or electric cars or something else, is that you can agree all day long that they do replace, they do reduce cost, but there's such a long payback time that you start to say, by the time I get it paid for, do I need to replace it?
Right.
And is there truly cost savings? So I think this is going to be something we're going to want to give very thorough thought to and make sure that if we go this direction, that we're putting the money in the right spot that's going to give the most bang for the buck.
Yes.
Not just something that feels good.
I agree. Absolutely. So anyway. Any other questions on the general discussion of the incentives themselves?
Any questions?
I get tripped up a little bit with the concept of having energy saving projects come forward to the board if there's a time when they're competing directly with water system improvements. You know what I mean?
I understand.
I think we ought to, if there's going to be a project exclusively for energy savings, it ought to be only heard at a time when there is funds available in excess of the water projects that have been come forward.
The one caveat that goes with that currently is that the Green Project Reserve is recommended for the drinking water SRF, not mandatory. For those of you who are around during the stimulus, it was mandatory that Green Project Reserve projects be bumped up the project priority list. But I personally am of the same opinion, Tage, that those that are strictly for energy savings should not interfere with the mandate for protecting public health.
For safe drinking water supply.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Exactly.
And we can write that in the rule itself. So the board's covered with that.
Did you have more? I was going to just propose a direction, but I don't want to cut you off.
I just have a couple more things,
okay.
and then we'll go with that. The next page is, like I say, a screenshot of our SRF application with some possible questions that we would ask the applicant to answer in order for them to qualify for the incentive points that we determine. You know, whether or not they're going to complete an audit or whether or not they have done an audit. An audit recommendations have been incorporated, et cetera, et cetera. So this is where we will gather the information is out of our application. The next three pages are just some breakouts of information that I gave at the bottom of that first page of the handout. A 10-point change in Table 2 results in approximate 5.5% change in interest rate, and that's shown on these pages. So the first page there, and I just picked a project at random. I happened to pick the Big Plains Water and Sewer SSD project. The first page shows that at 50 points, their interest rate worked out to be 2.79%. The next page shows that at 60 points, it dropped it down to 2.29%. And again, the next page shows that if you bump it up again another 10 points, they get another 0.5% interest rate reduction. So that's the basis of where that calculation comes from. The last page, attachment 3, is a table that Ken actually asked me to put together that compared the effect of interest rate on loan repayments. And we picked a $100,000 loan value because it's pretty easy. So as you look down that table, you can see that, first of all, a 1% interest rate reduction is approximately equal to 10% grant. And that's something that we've tested over and over the years. And it's, you know, 9 to 11%, you know, but a good rule of thumb is if the board chooses to reduce an interest rate by 1%, it's equivalent to a 10% grant. So at 20 years, for a 20-year loan, each 0.5% interest rate reduction reduces the average annual repayment by about 4.5%. On a 30-year loan, a 0.5% interest rate reduction reduces the average annual repayment by 6.1%. So that kind of gives you an idea of where those interest rate reductions will go as far as giving incentives. If it works out that the board chooses to, and rather than messing with table 2, if the board chooses to just say give a 0.5% interest rate reduction for an energy audit, then it reduces their payment by that much per year. And the 1%, if the board chooses to do a 1% interest rate reduction, then they get double that, and it's the equivalent of a 10% grant. So again, just basically food for thought as you begin your contemplations and deliberations on directing staff as where you would like to go with this incentivizing energy efficiency projects.
Well, I think this is going to take something more than just a quick yes or no.
I think it's going to be more than today.
Yeah, it's going to be more than today. I would propose a couple of options that we could consider, board members. We could either put a couple of people from the board into a working group, let them work with staff, and then come back to one, or we could just schedule a morning ahead of our next meeting or in the near future and hash it out with everybody involved, be able to ask those questions, what if, how does this work, you know, would this be sufficient? What would be your preference?
That would be my preference, is the morning.
The morning.
To do a morning with everybody involved?
Yes.
Could we do that at our next meeting? Would that be sufficient with your timing to get information?
I believe so.
So that would be the November 7th
meeting?
Okay, we'll plan then on a morning where we can give it a fair discussion and bring thoughts. I'm going to encourage you to read through the documentation that they've given us. So come back and be as prepared as we can on that.
And if you have questions or you want documents that we've referenced in any of this information, let me know and I'll be sure to get those documents to you.
Okay.
Because in addition to the South Dakota handbook, I've come across 3 or 4 others on the internet that I've been reading through that are really good baseline documents about the energy audit process and how things go and what they recommend. And
can you shoot those links to us?
Yeah.
Yes.
Would you just
absolutely
put those into a summary and then send those to all the board members? That'd be very helpful. Any other discussion on this item then at this point? No? Okay, thank you, Michael and Ken. That's great information. Moving down to the Rural Water Association. I see Dell's not here, but we have great replacements in his stead. Are one of you representing Dell for a report on the rural water? Curtis, are you doing that or no?
Well,
then let me thank you for inviting us to be part of your conference.
If
there's anything you need to report, we'll put it here. If not, we'll skip it.
Well, I don't know about Brian. I don't have anything specific with my program, anything really.
Okay.
Different much. Dale wanted us to just, apologize for him for not being here. He's been involved with a WARN, I don't know what, some kind of a security conference type of a thing up in Jackson Hole that got scheduled on top of this conference or this on top of it or something like that. So They'll be back tonight. I think they'll be here tomorrow.
Okay.
But
he chose Jackson Hole over us.
Well,
Jackson Hole over Layton. Come on.
They have no F-16s.
Can't figure that out.
Jackson.
No jets.
No jets.
Yeah. But I don't have anything necessary to report unless you want to hear something. But
it's always a pleasure to hear you talk, but I think we'll pass if that's okay. No offense, man. I
appreciate that.
Yeah.
We appreciate you being at the conference, too. And, you know, it's small compared to St. George, but we hope that it's successful.
Still great information, so thank you to you and to all the board for all their help on that. I have no additional items on my report. Ken, do you have anything further to share with this group?
Yes, just one item. As you look at Doug Evans' list of improvements, it is a very extensive list.
It's comprehensive.
At this point, it is only thought process, but thinking there, it would be good to qualify people on all the issues rather than just a niche. Would suggest a certification program, and the intent being that, like the other certification programs run by the division, consistent with rule, there would be training, there would be an exam, and this would represent that these individuals who become certified understand the engineering aspects that result, the rate structures that Rocky Mountain charges, the things that water systems could do that some of them don't obviously appear to be energy efficient, such as reducing the leaks in the system. But if you're leaking less water, you're pumping less water, which saves energy. You know, all of these types of issues. And this would require what is known in state language, a building block, additional funding, and I don't do that without the governor's approval and the legislature authorizing the authority and the funding for it. But it's out there.
Very good.
That's all I have.
Very good. Thank you. Wrap it up, Ben. November 7th will be our next board meeting. We'll meet early in the morning then, 8 or 9. We'll decide what's best.
I'll send an email.
And
yes.
Then we'll confirm that. We'll just hold that meeting in our Salt Lake City office. Any other items you have to discuss? Well, then, thank you. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I have a motion from Betty.
Second.
And a second from Roger. All in favor, we'll go home. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anybody want to stay? All right. Tate, have a safe flight.
You guys are incredibly efficient. Thank you.
I know. I like the discussion.
Well, okay.
That's good.